Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What comes to mind when you think of Amber Heard? A liar? A survivor? A narcissist? The trial of Depp v. Heard was a global phenomenon, but I want to know, was it a fair fight? I'm Alexi Mostras, the host of Sweet Bobby and Hoaxed. In my new podcast, I'm investigating whether Amber Heard was the victim of an organised trolling campaign. The entire series is now available to binge wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Who Trolled Amber.
Hello and welcome to the Slow Newscast, the podcast where we look at what's driving the news, not breaking news. I'm Basha Cummings.
University has always been what I wanted to go and do. I've never really considered any other option. And because of this, I have like a vision in my head of my first year and all these amazing experiences. And I just don't think they'll be the same if courses are online or accommodation is limited or social distancing is in place. So that's quite a hard thing to digest.
Yes, it was quite a while ago now for me, but I remember that feeling too, that sense of excitement that you can hear in the student's voice, that the next chapter of your life is about to start. It's looming and it's full of possibility. And I can remember obsessing over it in those final months of school, that itch to leave, to be free, to give yourself a go in the world. And every year, millions of students are having those same thoughts. There is, at the end of the summer, a great migration of young people taking up places in university. But as with almost everything else, coronavirus is threatening to put all of that in doubt.
What's going to happen to higher education in the middle of a pandemic? Universities are scrambling to get their lectures online as coronavirus lockdowns lock out students. But what will that do to the quality of education?
So many students are having to reimagine their future. And that's what we're going to investigate in this podcast, the uncertainty facing students and universities as social distancing completely reshapes how we learn and how we socialise. But more than that, we're going to look at one particular place because there are many towns and cities across the country where the student population is vital. So what happens to a place when it suddenly looks like all of those students might not turn up? But first, a message from our newsroom.
Slow News is a podcast made by us here at Tortoise. We're a news publisher. In an app, online, in our daily SenseMaker email, and, as you already know, in podcasts. What's different about us is that we investigate what's driving the news, and we'd love for you to join us. By becoming a member of our newsroom, you'll get access to our journalism, and you can join our open news meetings and help decide what matters in the world and how we should report it. To get access to all of Tortoise, all you have to do is download our app and take the free trial. Go to tortoisemedia.com/podtrial and help make the news.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. It's quite exciting. It's something to do.
Yes, something to do in lockdown.
Yeah.
This is Molly.
Yeah, so I'm Molly. I'm 18 and yeah, I was planning to go to university this year and now I'm just at a bit of a loss as to what to do, really.
And what did you study at school? What were your A-levels?
So my A-levels were computer science, maths and dance, because I need computing and maths for what I want to do at uni. And then dance was just a real passion of mine. And it's so different that it provided a bit of variety for me, I guess, in my school life.
Nice. So did you have quite a clear idea of what you wanted to do at university?
Yeah, 100%. I knew I want to study computer science at university, and I just didn't know how specific I wanted to go. So I looked at courses that were just plain computer science that had different specifications to them. And I knew that that's the field I wanted to go into, and I've known it for a few years, which is quite helpful, actually.
Yeah, sounds great. So which university were you hoping to go to if everything went to plan?
If everything went to plan, I was going to go to Swansea University. I just absolutely fell in love with it, and no other university clicked with me like Swansea did. I just fell in love with the campus and the block and all of the people, and just I really loved the area and the place in general. So I think it kind of everything just clicked with me.
That's where we're focusing this podcast, Swansea in Wales.
That was a Welshman. What he said was, "Welcome to Swansea."
But really, it could be any place that is highly dependent on students flooding in each September. But Swansea is interesting because after a rather grim history, Swansea has bet big on students. It was once home to thriving industry.
Coal and steel, the munitions of war and the munitions of peace.
And at a time in the 19th century, it smelted 90% of the world's copper.
It was a tradition. It was that your father went to the copper works, so you went to the copper
works. Exactly, yeah. Well, my brother was there. He's the oldest, down at the industry.
But by the Second World War, its industry had made it a target. Here's Rob Stewart, the leader of Swansea Council, on what happened.
Behind and, the history is a difficult one for Swansea because you'll know that Swansea became a major target of the Luftwaffe during the Second World War, and because of its industrial docks and its industrial power base. Unfortunately, the Luftwaffe missed the docks and missed the all of the engineering industrial base and decimated the city. And there are photos from the time showing just one building standing in Swansea after several nights of blitz. The resulting economic output from that was that Swansea was rebuilt quickly in the 1950s and rebuilt all at the same time. And, you had a lot of very low-rise buildings across the city, which all decayed at around the same rate. So when you got to the early 2000s, you had a city centre that was desperately in need of investment.
Swansea has problems. High unemployment, homelessness, deprivation.
More recently, it suffered from a number of regeneration projects that never quite came to life. There was the electrification of the main railway line, but they decided to stop it at Cardiff, the Welsh capital.
A ride. And businesses say they're being denied the faster, greener trains that they'd been promised a decade ago. Well, in response, the Welsh government called the news a bitter blow.
And the proposed tidal lagoon in Swansea Bay.
Where is the tidal lagoon? The people of Wales deserve an answer. They deserve those jobs and they deserve consideration of the UK government.
But there has been a glimmer of hope in recent years. Students bring in a lot of money to the city. More than 20,000 students attend Swansea University. 20% of those are international students. That's a 50% increase in the numbers of students since 2015. And people who live there are fiercely proud of the place.
I felt an immediate warmth and sense of welcome from the people that I interacted with, both in the process leading up to my appointment and subsequently.
That's Mark Garrett. He's the Director of Marketing and Recruitment at Swansea University.
I've asked pretty much every member of my team, what are the three words that jump out? And these are the sorts of things. There's a warmth of welcome. There's a sense of family. And for sure, and I do actually know the area, it's a fantastic quality of life.
Part of what makes Swansea the city that it is the students. They've firmly established themselves as a vital part of the city's regeneration. I asked Rob Stewart just how important they are to the local economy.
Oh, hugely important. I mean, the vibrancy and the economic impact of expanding universities and the students that they bring to cities is immense. And in Swansea, we've been on trajectory now for some years where we've gone from around 22,000 students up to around 30,000 students studying in and around Swansea, in both Swansea University and Trinity St David's, our two universities. And, you know, they have a significant positive economic impact for the city. You know, and if you walk through Swansea now, you'll see significant buildings being created. You know, the Bay campus, the second Swansea University campus, was once the largest education development program in Wales, and over £450 million has been spent on that campus. And, you know, the significant student accommodation being created as part of that. And, you know, it's really changing the landscape of the city.
All of that investment relies heavily on students taking up their places in September or returning to their studies. So what happens if they just don't? Manchester University has said that it fears there could be a drop of up to 80% in international students arriving in September. That's crucial. Students from abroad pay on average £10,000 a year. That's more than domestic students. It's something my colleague Chris Cook has been investigating for us. Chris was formerly education correspondent at the Financial Times, and as the coronavirus threatens to drive a catastrophic dent in university finances, he's been speaking to vice-chancellors across the country.
So based on talking to vice-chancellors about what they're preparing for, we tried to put together a sort of plausible, not alarmist, but, you know, middle of the road sort of scenario that of the sort that they were all planning for. And what we went for was that we assumed that the number of first year new students from the UK would only drop by 5%, because basically they all seem to say they're still turning up. It's the overseas students they're worried about. So we assume a 25% drop in new enrolments by EU students from outside the UK. They're still treated basically in the UK as though they're home students, because we haven't, if you like, left the EU transition process yet. And overseas students, so from outside the UK or EU, the ones who pay the really, really big fees, we assume they're going to drop by 50%, because they're the ones who are more likely to be troubled by visa restrictions, say, and are the ones who pay the most, so might be most unwilling to put up with, you know, distance learning for a term while the universities get their stuff together. We also assume a slightly higher dropout deferral rate, you know, 5-10% higher, for existing students, as people basically defer their courses because they, you know, they may feel like if they're doing nursing, say, they can't actually really be taught it in a socially distanced way, or they just frankly may not want to be in a socially distanced environment, you know, for the best years of their life.
So even a small disruption at the student level could have a big effect institutionally.
That's right, and it will really depend from institution to institution. In this scenario, we think you lose about £2.5 billion.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Do you ever feel like there's nothing new in the news? You know there are urgent things happening in the world around you, but all you hear is noise. That's why we made What Next. Our goal is to tell you the stories you haven't heard before, or maybe a different side to the story you thought you already knew all about. I'm Mary Harris, the host of What Next. And I love my job because it helps me cut through the noise of the news. And then I get to bring it to you. Together, we can figure out what next.
From fees, The average university goes from running a surplus of about 3.5% of their income, so they're comfortably, you know, in the black, to running an 8.5%-ish deficit, so, you know, deep into the red. Those are numbers that, frankly, you know, you shouldn't be running on a long-term basis. And whether institutions are able to eat this, you know, as a one-off hit, right? Get things back on track for the year after and just absorb that as a one-off problem is, you know, is a big gamble, because it may be that in the years that follow, if people can't finish their, you know, their qualifications, so, you know, they can't get their English language qualifications in India, say, or they've had their schooling disrupted, they may not be ready for the next year. So it may be that the long tail of this, even if the coronavirus is dealt with relatively rapidly, is that you get suppressed student enrolments for years to come. And in that case, what universities do is probably a bit different. They probably have to really cut deep into themselves to make it possible for them to survive this in lots of cases.
So what can we expect from Swansea University? Are there more students like Molly? I spoke to Mark Garrett at Swansea to find out.
So typically UK undergraduates would have been expected to have made their decisions by the middle of May. That's been extended to June. So some people are making decisions later. International students, we've still had a huge increase in our applications internationally. But the different factor is this year is, you know, will they convert into students coming on campus? So we're putting more effort in engaging with our UK and international students at trying to get some sense of where their head's at and what their concerns are so we can address them.
What are you expecting in September, really? I mean, what do you think is going to be the most likely outcome? I know all the caveats, you know, of depends where we are with lockdown, depends where we are with infection rates, but if we sort of stay in this, in the state that we're in now, where some things are open, there is a bit more freedom, what do you think will happen in September for Swansea?
Our intention is to be open for business in September and for us to welcome as many students that want to come and study with us. But there will necessarily be, you know, the potential that, you know, large mass lectures will be potentially still done online.
Are you expecting a big drop-off?
Well, I mean, that's another $64 million question. I mean, we're modelling, you know, having a big drop-off versus, you know, it not being as bad as could be.
What about the universities forecasting up to 80% drops in international student numbers?
Well, 20 to 80% is the general. Every university is predicting between 20 and 80%, and in some respects, it doesn't really say anything. I mean, you know, I personally would, if we were 50% down in September and by the January start we were 20% down, then I've had a good start to my career in Swansea, let's put it like that.
Many universities are desperately worried about the effect of students not turning up. There's a realistic prospect that some could go bust. But in Swansea, some people, at least publicly, seem almost strangely relaxed about the prospect. Chris Cook has been stress testing what happens if student numbers fall by 10% and finds it is more likely to affect those outside the university.
Broadly speaking, what we're looking at on our scenario is we think that they'll lose about £15 million in fee income for the year, which is not that much in, you know, in absolute terms. It, you know, if you think that UCL in London is losing over 100 million in this scenario, but it's a lot for an institution of this size. It's also going to lose, we think, about £18 million in, you know, rent, in conferences, in catering, all of that stuff. And if you add that stuff together, that on its own is enough to move the university from running a surplus of about 5% of its income. So it's not enough to tip that university over at that level. I mean, it's fundamentally, it's got cash on hand. It can get through this. but the actually got quite a lot of cash on hand at Swansea University. So, you know, this isn't a problem. But actually, if you're one of the people who works in the outskirts of the university, if you're one of the people that works, for example, in providing housing, you know, if you're a landlord, if you run a cafe, if you live off that student stuff, then this is really difficult for you.
And as Chris points out, while Swansea University might be big enough to absorb the extra costs, other businesses in Swansea and across the UK are not. International students have brought in around £500 million to the Welsh economy, and overall student spending contributes more than £2 billion. So if there is a 10% drop in numbers, what happens to the businesses at the heart of Swansea's regeneration?
Yeah, that would be catastrophic, really, if that happens here. I think the student market here is huge.
Tom and Ryan are brothers who own student accommodation along with bars and restaurants in the city.
We can see it from both ends. So we see it from the student lets, and then we also see it from the cafes and bars. I think students have really helped the economy in the last couple of years in Swansea, and it's really boosted us to allow us to, which is now starting to happen, almost get better things. We got a new theatre come in, and I strongly believe that's because of the economy that students have brought.
Yeah, they're a huge part of it. Like, it's a really strange one. Like, I think Tom's nearly at 100% occupancy, signed up already for next year, and then I'm probably at about 75-80%. They've obviously signed contracts to start from September. Like, I don't know if they're legally binding. Like, obviously you wouldn't want anyone to kind of like pay if they're not using it, really, but you know, kind of like, we have got mortgages to pay that on the property and stuff. So are they legally binding even if the things don't go ahead? Will students, like, if they are doing virtual online lessons, obviously a big part of university life is the kind of like just living away from home, isn't it? So, like, will students come and live in these private properties while still doing virtual lectures? Or will they just stay at home? I'd assume they're still having their student finance as normal. So, you know, you'd hope the kind of like money was there to be able to pay for it. So it really is a kind of like, I think everyone's just in a bit of a guessing game at the moment.
And just personally for you both, how unsettling and anxious a time is this? And how much information have you been given by, you know, the university or government? You know, how much are you being steered on what to expect?
Yeah, well, locally, nothing really at all in terms of help and support. But, you know, we're in the same boat as everyone else, I guess. We're just checking the news and and trying to read up in articles and anything online, any resource, really try and get as much information as we can. But like the mortgage companies, the stuff, no one really knows, and no one's committed anyway to anything. No. I think that's the biggest problem. It's obviously such a unique situation that it's changing weekly, and everyone's afraid to kind of like commit. I noticed Cambridge University obviously have gone online for next year. They've made that commitment, but I certainly think in Swansea they haven't firmly made that any commitment yet either way.
And are there many businesses like yours in Swansea which are really tied into the student population? Like, what is the impact that students have on the local economy more generally?
Yeah, it's huge. I think Swansea's population is about roughly 250,000, and then students are roughly 25,000. So obviously 10% of the population are students. And then of that 10%, certain areas like Bryn Mill, Uplands, and the Castle Ward in particular, you know, they must be 80-85% students. So like any businesses, which obviously one of our bars is, which are based in that suburb of Swansea, are hugely affected. You know, there's like, just off the top of my head, there's a KFC, there's a Sainsbury's, a Tesco's, but there's local cafes and bars, there's a little mini nightclub, there's a nice little like nightlife, which obviously, you know, I would say we're probably like 60% students demographic. So really, really, really affected by it, to be honest.
With the number of international students attending Swansea looking inevitably like it will take a hit, it's domestic students like Molly who will be even more important than ever. The health of businesses like Tom and Ryan's depend on her, and more widely, the health of the city relies on her taking up her place in September. So what's she thinking? Well, for now, like every smart young woman, she's keeping her options open.
Well, that's the thing. I've never thought about anything but uni. I've been looking at trying to find some one-year placement courses or apprenticeships or training like academies, because I don't want to just waste the year if I defer a year. But I don't know, because I'd never really thought about it. So it now feels like such a big shock.
So that's Molly, full of excitement and yet so full of uncertainty. And the important thing is, she's one of millions weighing up whether turning up on campus in September is a good idea. And we can see how that uncertainty is sending ripples across a city like Swansea. But of course, those ripples are not limited to Swansea. They're not even limited to the UK. There are towns and cities across the world, in Australia and America and in India, where a whole local economy is now waiting and wondering, will the young people turn up? Thanks for listening today. And actually, we've got some good news for you. We're nominated for a British Podcast Award for Best Current Affairs Podcast. And you, our beloved listeners, can vote for us. Just go to the British Podcast Awards website and cast your vote. And if you're enjoying this podcast, I think there's a really good chance that you'll enjoy all the other stuff that we do at Tortoise. There are articles and investigations that you can read on our app or online. And because we're an open newsroom, you can join a whole load of editorial meetings from wherever you are in the world. You can shape our journalism and the stories that we tell. All you need to do is get our app, and you can get access to everything that we do. Just go to tortoisemedia.com/podtrial and get a 30-day free trial. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.
Are you sure that's okay, or do you want me to do it again? Oh, thank God for a producer.
Hello.
This is the story of the hardest puzzle in the world.
We are looking for highly intelligent individuals. To find them, we have devised a test.
In January 2012, an anonymous post surfaced online.
It was a series of online cryptology scavenger hunts that turned real life very suddenly.
Nicknamed Cicada 3301, the final puzzle remains unsolved.
But would you call yourself one of the founders of Cicada 3301?
It's a hard thing. Maybe.
Join us as we follow the trail that has gone cold. Archive, the world's hardest puzzle. Available to listen wherever you get your podcasts.